I really appreciate the welcome every time we come. Whether we're under the tent or whether we're in the building, we always get a real wonderful welcome. And we're glad to see everyone here working with us, a number of people from around the different parts of the states. I think there's quite a number of people that was here this morning from the Carolinas. I didn't know that they were here, but I found out that they are here. And maybe some of them, did you get the people baptized from? We're glad to be here tonight. This is camp meeting. And I didn't feel what I wanted to feel when I come up tonight outside. And I told my wife, I said, something isn't just right, Betty, because I don't feel the anointing of God moving with the people like I usually do when I come up to the tent. And out of all times, this camp meeting, the Lord should be moving as much or more than we've ever had Him move. That means that something isn't just right. Even though I feel a good spirit among the people, I feel a good attitude, I feel God here. And I know He's wanting to do something. That's real obvious. Everything's done real well. The tent's sitting real well. And the problem is not God nor the Spirit. It's us as a people. And what causes that is a lot of times not fasting, not praying, having our minds scattered, filled with the cares of today, and of course this morning's service. Our people get kind of tired, and it's a little warm, and it'll cool off in just a little bit. But, you know, I was just talking to David Paul about a few things before I come, as why that we have problems with the Word of God, the anointing, and these kind of things, not understanding. As a matter of fact, David's going to be helping us in the camp meeting. Somehow he didn't get lined up tonight like he wanted to, as to take part. And I'm sure Brother Taylor did his best, you know, trying to sing with you. But folks, it takes more than Brother Taylor. It takes more than Brother Pike. It takes more than you. God has got to do the moving, but you are the keynote. When no one else recognized God in human flesh as it was with Jesus, He was in the midst of all of them. And to the people, they never were stirred to the extent they said, well, we know Him. He's a carpenter's son. And they said, we would see a sign. Great and mighty things was taking place all around, even to the raising of the dead. And they still didn't see anything, and they stood there and said, we want to see a sign. And He got so upset with them, He said, because of the hardness of their heart, He said, you're not going to get any sign. Speaking to the Jewish people, He said, you're not going to get any sign. That is, you're blind. How can you see a sign? It's happening everywhere. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spiritual, and pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Someone would say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean, somebody said, well, what's happening? I don't see anything happening. Well, things are happening like the angelic beings are all through the tent. The Bible said the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that love Him and fear Him. And there's guardian angels is with you all day long. And Christ Himself is resurrected from the dead, and He's in the midst. Just where two or three come together in His name, He's in the midst. Wouldn't you say that's more exciting than the president coming? Someone said, well, I know that's what I said. See, you're looking for something that isn't ever going to be. So, if it's not exciting to you to know that God Almighty is under this tent, you'll never be excited. There's nothing more exciting than that. Here among the Jews, Jesus Christ, the very embodiment of Almighty God, God the Spirit, the Word, made flesh, standing in their midst. They wasn't thrilled because they were looking for something they couldn't find. Jesus got so disgusted because of the hardness of the heart. He said, you've never seen Him at any time. And there He was standing right before them. And He said, you've never heard His voice at any time. And there He was talking to them. But there was a reason why he said that, and sometimes we bring out a little bit on it, maybe even tonight. So, well, what are you saying, Brother Pike? I'm just taking a few minutes tonight before we get to the Word to collect your thoughts and to collect your mind. You know what brought the Lord on the day of Pentecost? Someone would say, well, it was that great day, the 50th year, and the debts were forgiven. And the Jubilee time was there, and God chose that as of the Jews' day of worship to bring the spiritual deliverance as the forgiving of all debts. And that was a type that was moving toward that age. But see, that wasn't it. What brought that? Somebody said, well, God came down. No, that wasn't it either. Someone said, well, Brother Pike, if God came down, you know that was it. No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. What brought it? It was the fact that they were all in one mind and one accord. One mind and one accord. This is what brought it. And tonight, you know, the problem is, it isn't that Christ isn't here or God isn't here. It's you're not in one mind and one accord. Everybody's in their own mind. There's thousands of fallen angels, and they're everywhere. And they're looking for bodies. And because they're looking for bodies, then that means that they're trying to get in your body. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I'll never let them in my body. But they get in the body, sometimes seven at a time, sometimes a legion. And they get in the body because they've got to get out of the dry places, of the tormenting places. And when they're driven out of you, they don't have that blood through the seat of atonement. See, and they don't have that blood to cover them that's on the seat of atonement during the time of mercy as to God dealing with the church to bring them out from among the people. See, so they're crowding in a whole legion. And you remember how the devils pleaded and said, if you're going to cast us out, then it's not our time for you to torment us. Have you come to torment us before our time? And if you're going to cast us out, let us go away into the swine. See, that's what the Word does. When we come, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe you got the power to cast out devils. Every believer has power to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Someone said, well, I'm a believer in, and I don't see it happen. I see a lot of people laying hands on the sick, and I don't see them recover. I didn't say a lot of people would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Somebody said, we're Christians. It didn't say anything about anybody professing Christianity. It said believers. Someone would say, well, we're Christians, we're believers. If you was a real, genuine Christian, you would be a believer. But there's millions of church people, and they're certainly not believers. Believers mean that you really believe something's going to happen when you pray. That's what believers are. And wherever you find believers, you'll find the sick being healed. It automatically follows the believer. See, and when these fallen angels get into a body, that means that there's something going on. And everything gets at a standstill. Because God can't look on iniquity. He can't fellowship your carnal mind. It's enmity and eating and drinking and buying and selling and going, whether to meeting, whatever. It's still carnality. And being carnal, then that means that you don't see, you don't hear. Having eyes to see, you don't see. Having ears to hear, you don't hear. And you don't have the spirit of revealing. God is the spirit. The woman said, we worship over here. He said, the time's coming when you won't worship over here, neither in this mountain, but you'll worship God in spirit and truth, for he's seeking such to worship him. Have you gotten into the spirit tonight? The Bible said John was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Somebody would say, well, God, he's going to come down. He's just going to sweep us away, Brother Pike. No, the Bible said you draw nigh to God, then he'll draw nigh to you. See, have you drawn nigh to God? Have you been meditating? Have you been praying? Did you enter into his gates with thanksgiving and praise, or did you just enter into his gates to clap your hands and to sing? You understand what I'm saying? As I talk here, I'm trying to collect your minds, because if we get in one mind, and that's the mind of Christ, and we get in one accord, and that's to do the will of God, like they did on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As the last camp meeting, he'll come like a mighty rushing wind. So that's what we're here for. I have all kind of problems. I come under, a preacher has all kind of problems. He comes under the tent, he goes to the sacred desk. You might greet him real well. See, but that doesn't mean that you're in the Spirit. And you may have ever so much respect for Him. But see, He's not what's important. It's the Spirit that's important. Your mind might be altogether away from Christ. And we have to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. I say enter into His gates, and one would be natural. Jesus said, destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. And they thought, so many years it took us to build this temple, and you're going to build it in 3 days. But see, they were not spiritual. They did not understand that He spake of His body. And when the veil was rent in twain, as to from the top to the bottom, those natural-minded Jews thought that had to do with the veil of the natural temple, because that's what happened. But the Bible said He made in Himself twain, even as to the body. And it was divided asunder as to the Lord from the Christ, as to the Spirit from the Christ. They never were spiritual enough to know that. Did you know God in heaven knows this is the truth? So help me God. That out of the years that I've been preaching around the world, did you know I never heard anybody say that? I've never heard anybody preach that. I've never heard laity nor preachers ever make mention of any such thing. And when the Spirit revealed it to me, I was shocked. I was shocked, and I thought, well, my God, surely to goodness with the years that we all spend in the ministry, we should understand what He was saying. But that's what we need to know, that we're dealing with spiritual things. See, and the 70, though devils had was subject to them in the name of Jesus, they didn't even have the Holy Ghost. Though He was present with them, just like the prophet. But He didn't have the gift of the Holy Ghost, even as we said today. And they were saying, Master, the devils are subject unto us in Your name. And He said, don't rejoice over that, but rather that Your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when He came right down to it, they walked off and left Jesus. And He said to the 12, will ye also go? And they said, to where? Ye alone have the words of eternal life. See, so are we spiritual? Do we understand? Jesus said, lest you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you don't have any life in you. They left. They said, who can eat the man's flesh and drink his blood? But see, His words were spiritual. And so God is a Spirit. And we have to understand the Spirit. We have to understand that something is going on in the Spirit. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. We worship God with our spirit. We don't worship God like they try to do today by having a ball game and having ball scholars, having all kinds of social things going on in the church as to their form of dressing, as to their money, or trying to get all the money they can out of the people, or whatever it might be. See, we worship God. He is a Spirit. He is the invisible God, Paul said, whom I serve with My Spirit. So it's very obvious that when I pulled up out there, even out there, I didn't feel the connection. I felt it at home before I left, and wasn't nobody there but me and David, and I was talking to David. And before David had come in, I'd also felt the Spirit. Now, but what it was, you said, well, Brother Pike, then you don't believe we have the Spirit. Oh, no, that isn't it at all. The very thoughts that of you having that shows the error and that you're listening to the wrong voice. That's not my insinuation. That is not what I'm saying. Neither am I questioning your fellowship or relation to God, nor as a person, a lady or a gentleman. See, but I'm simply saying that the same voice that you listen to like that is what leads you astray and causes you to go into error and causes you not to be in the mind of Christ as to the Word of Spirit and life. As the Bible said, let this mind be in you, it was also in Christ Jesus. See, when you enter in, you get into the spiritual world, you go into the gates with thanksgiving. And your spirit enters in with thanksgiving. You start praising the Lord and worshiping God, and your spirit begins to leave your body. Paul said, caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, he said. See, and caught up, and the spirit begins to move. And when you look at me, see, that's just an object to catch your sight. Peter said, look on us. But beyond that, Peter said, I see something. He said, well, who do men say that I am? And he said, as to one of the prophets and whatever, he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, revelation. Flesh and blood, education, all of your intelligence, your ability, all of your geniuses of life, your expertise didn't reveal this to you. If so, then why didn't the Jews see me? They've been following God supposedly all the days of their life. Breaker of the law, none of them kept it. See, and we say, well, we serve the Lord and we do this and we fast twice a week and all these kind of things. Never did even see God. Never did even get in touch with God. See, because it's an intellectual will worship. And it's not the moving of the Great Spirit. So we don't see anything. We don't know anything. But folks, we can be spiritual. If we live in the Spirit, born of the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. So then tonight, we come here to collect our minds, all one mind, one accord, the mind of Christ, and then comes the Spirit. And already I can feel the connection. As I talk to you, somebody's beginning to believe because I feel the Holy Ghost moving over me right now. And when He starts moving, that means He's present. And that means that He reveals the thoughts of the heart. You can perceive, Jesus perceived their thoughts in His Spirit. Many hundreds of times I perceive people's thoughts. And it wasn't me, but the Christ in me perceiving their thoughts in the Spirit. Because that's the way He worked. And many times God heals. Many times God casts out devils because He sent His Word and cast out the devils. And He sent His Word and healed them. Not because the natural Word was spoken, but it does have to be preached to get the natural attention with the natural hearing. See, but because these are spirits, this is the Word of Spirit and life. And when it's ministered from a sincere heart, it brings humility, it brings meekness out of the people, and through the power of the mediator as to the Christ, He links your spirits together as to one and another. But if you're in the mind of the body of the intellectual, you're divided up like splinters because thousands of demons or fallen angels are inhabiting the body. Finally, the Spirit starts moving and each spirit is linked to another spirit as a membership of the body. And the one spirit of the human body, it attaches all members of that body to that one spirit of life through the power of that brain as to one spirit of life, many operations from the hands, the head, whatever, as to the measure. And so you are in Christ Jesus. And when we get into that place, the Lord Himself, as to the corporal body, is going to be in your midst. He's going to return, and when you do, you're going to go away just like Enoch did. Walking with God, having faith in God, and he was not, for God took him. And we're on the verge of that right now, and that's what this camp meeting has to do with. Our trip to Arizona had to do with it. Our meeting down in Mexico had to do with it. Even this morning service had to do with it. We go along day after day and year after year, and we feel like ain't nothing happening. We don't see nothing. But millions and millions of great, mighty things is taking place in heaven all the time. Like you've heard me say so many times, caught up into heaven, I saw the heavens fill with the majesty of His greatness and looked back at the mass on the earth and said, can't you see that? And those people were not seeing it. They were looking at me, but they didn't see it. But folks, we're supposed to see it. It's time for the child. And Brother Taylor was singing, a man child. And I hear the Spirit talking to me right now, reminding me. As He had already reminded me before I came tonight. Reminded me this morning, but I laid everything aside. And I said, well, if that is what it is, He'll tell me tonight. So I dismissed it from my mind. And then when I get to this point, it's where I collect the mind and feel the Spirit, He begins to talk. You know, to us, the moving of the Spirit is jumping and shouting and all of that's fine, children playing. When I was a child, I spake as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. But the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. Not be dead. He wants a living sacrifice. He's the God of the living, not of the dead. Be still and know that I'm God, which means be still in your spirit. Your minds are going everywhere. You know, the television program, your favorite television program, this thing, and you don't know whether this is real or not real, and you don't know, you just don't know, you just don't know, and always scrutinizing. And a lot of times it's because you've had a bad hand, as the world says, dealt to you in the past. Things has come, make you bitter. You're not as prosperous as others. You've had tragedies, you've had problems, you've got halfway bitter at God, and you want to blame Him, and yet you don't want to die and go to hell. So you keep on searching, you keep on looking, you keep on trying, and the first thing you know, Satan has got you so bumfuzzled in your mind, and you're so shook up, you're completely lost as to the soul in the shuffle. Won't even give God a chance. Man, think about that, how puny man is. And I know you're standing, and I'm going to let you sit down in a minute, but the preacher stands all the time, so don't be critical. You feel my infirmities. See, but the thing is, it's like I told the reporter, the girl that we had praying before she left. And she come out here, and we was talking to her, and I was looking at her there as we talked. And I told her just to what kind of condition she was in, and it shocked her because she thought she was really getting over to me and what she said. And then all of a sudden, I said something to her. And then I told her, I said, you know, and I did it purposely to kind of arouse her a little bit. I said, first of all, have you ever had an experience with God? And of course, she admitted she hadn't, but she got one before she left. And I said, can you imagine, talking about man and how puny he is with all of his learning. And I said, can you imagine somebody coming out from a college? And the college papers and all of them, the institution of learning that they're now calling houses of prostitutes, streaking around without clothes and all these kind of things. I said, can you imagine them coming out here, or news medias or whatever as we want them to express, don't know nothing about God like her. She'd not even have an experience with God. Don't know nothing about God as the salvation. I said, and they come out here like some little old child, and they're going to do a documentary on God Almighty and do a documentary on Him that is the breath that's going in and out their mouth, that He could kill them that quick, and do a documentary on God's people. And the Bible said they're God's people, they're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, and they were that little old puny brain of theirs and that little old puny mind that the Satan has raised up to be like a god in the earth, that everybody's right. They got the answer. And they've discovered great things by science when they've not discovered anything, that God's revealed it to them for our benefit of comfort, and to typically to show as in heaven, so in the earth. Like Benjamin Franklin or others, or somebody that's going to discover electricity, and they got two little sticks flying around up here in the air, and got a key on a string, and it's supposed to be a great experimental thing. The foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. Didn't have to go to college to learn to fly a kite. And the greatest thing we got in the earth is light, and a little cross flying around in the air in simplicity to hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, to make it known. How great and mighty is the revelation of the little two-stick kite. I said, and they come out here, and Jesus said, inasmuch as you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. And they'll have to answer in the day of judgment. I said, some little old college student that don't hardly know their right hand from their left. And they're going to do a documentary on the house of God and God's people. I said, can you realize what stupidity that is? Let's give the Lord a hand. I said, that's just like somebody that's a mechanic, a real man of a mechanic that knows a car thoroughly, and some little junior comes up and says, I'm going to search this thing out, and I'm going to scrutinize you, and I'm going to do a documentary and see if you know what you're doing. And he hasn't even got out of his diapers good. And it really shook the woman up. But folks, let me tell you, we're dealing with the mind of Almighty God, the mind that spoke the stars into existence, that made you and I like the sand of the seashore, just produced them like that and still doing it. And the Bible said he was in their midst and many mighty works he would not do. Could not do, the Bible said, because of her unbelief. A great minister, a great mighty missionary, one of the greatest in the world, wrote a little article and said it wasn't that he couldn't do it, it was that he wouldn't do it. That's wrong. That's not true at all, though the man's a great Bible scholar. He couldn't do it. If you saw a little baby dying, falling into the fire, drowning, and that little baby was your little baby, would you do something about it? If you could, sure you would. Sure you would. No matter what you've done in your stumbling, God has given grace even on the terror. because he's so merciful, not willing that any should perish, not even the wicked, but that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. But if the wicked won't listen, there's nothing else he can do. If he can't get to the baby, there's nothing a mother or a dad can do. He can't do it because of your unbelief, because you have to come to God through the atonement of the blood of the Lamb for him to be able to look at you. And he has that on the seat of atonement for them that are out in sin. So he gives grace to all. But when it comes to doing the mighty works, the Bible said he could not do it because of their unbelief. Because without faith, it's impossible for God to do anything. He sanctifies, purifies our heart by faith, that he, the Holy Spirit, might come into our heart and into the temple and do mighty works. For Paul said he's able to do abundantly above all that you're able to ask or think through the Spirit that worketh within you mightily. Well, anyway, we could go on and explain a few little things here and say these things because you are great and mighty people. And don't get off key with me now. Don't get off course with me. Don't judge it in your carnal mind because the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. He doesn't even know them. He'll never see them. His eyes cannot be opened. He's blinded by the ignorance of Satan, the satanic understanding as to human reasoning on the inside. He has never comprehend this life. But you're children of God that comprehend the heights, depth, width, and length. So don't get off key. Judge righteous judgment. But, as Solomon said, who can speak to so great a people? Even gods. Even gods. Jesus said, you are gods. People who are sons and daughters of God are gods. You know, God can't die. I say this so often, and I say it here in simplicity before I refer to the scripture, which I'm about to do now. I've just been doing this to collect your thoughts, to get you together. Otherwise, it'd be like rain on a duck's back. Wouldn't get anything through. You're locked in too tight. Even though I felt it break already, and the Lord's reminding me again of something. Forget it as I talk, but he reminded me again. What am I saying? Jesus said, you are gods, but you die like men from lack of knowledge and understanding. That is to know that you are gods, and the devil takes advantage of it. And we don't listen long enough, and we don't stay long enough, and we don't apply ourselves. We are so eager for the things of the flesh, which is going to perish, that we give all of our time, 24 hours around the clock, either to sleep, to eat, to buy, to go, to sail, to enjoy, or have pleasure. Not giving ourselves as to a living sacrifice of the denial for Christ's sake, as he did a denial for our sake. So, I better get around to this one thing, because I know that we got to go on soon. But we need to remember that it's all in Christ, and he's the answer. And we need to understand that we are gods. And as I say in simple terms a lot of times, so that even the child can understand it, when we speak of this, that it takes a dog to bring forth a dog. It takes a cat to bring forth a cat. It takes a lion as to the cat family to bring forth a lion. It takes an elephant to bring forth an elephant. It takes a human being to bring forth a human being. And as they gender together, as they reproduce, as they have their family, fellowship, and relationship, which is very pure in the sight of God, for the Bible said, the bed of the married is undefiled and all multiply, replenish the earth, but the whoremonger and adulterer God will judge. See, when they gender, they bring forth of their own seed, of their own life, of their own nature. And so if it's a human being, it brings forth a human being. But folks, if it's a God, it will reproduce a God. And the Bible said we are born of God, and we are sons and daughters of God. That means we are gods. And what does that mean? That means we are eternal. And that means that we pass from death unto life. And that means we cannot sin. And that means it is all over, no matter what the great scholars say, no matter what your pastor says or what I say, or anybody else says, that's what he said about it. And it's his word and his plan and his program. And the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word and not theology or refer to something as a theologian. Theory is all right. Theology is all right. To study it, that's fine. But folks, I say so often, when we got facts, we don't need theory. Now, so then ye are gods. Ye are gods. Why do you die? Die like men from the lack of knowledge. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I've got enough sense to know that if it was a God, it couldn't die. Then the question arises, was Jesus God? Of course, you know he was God. And not only God, as to a measure, but God in the fullness. Did he die? Of course he died. Come down and died as a human body, and you haven't been changed in your human body, and that human body can still die. The inner man is the Son of God. Cannot die, and one day the body will be changed as to the inner man, and it won't go to sleep. It can't die right now, but it can go to sleep. And someone will say, well, six of one, half a dozen of the other, Brother Pike, all the same. No, not the same at all. There's a difference when the spirit separates from the body and the body lays down to rest and sleep. There's a world of difference, nothing less than a world of difference, between that spirit departing from the body and that spirit of God departing from your spirit. That's death. So I hear him reminding me again, he is reminding you about a third time, and then you need to do something about it. So, brethren, you are so great a people, even gods, reproducing gods, and gods cannot die. We're going to dedicate a little one tonight. God apparently intends for the little one to be dedicated tonight. And it's perfectly in line with what I understood of the meeting. And that's why we've taken our time here the first night of the meeting to break the yoke, to make sure that we enter into his gates. And the only way we can do that is with thanksgiving. So I hope you don't mind me just fellowshipping you a little bit tonight. And I'd like for them to bring the little one up here, if they will. This little one, I might not be able to express it the way I should. There was a note this morning that I did not know requested the dedication of the child. And this little one, before it came into the world, if I have this right, and the brother can correct me if I don't have it right, but before it came into the world, there was a dream that the grandmother from California had. And she saw a little boy. And the little boy, as she saw, God gave her a name for it. And she told him about this and told him the name. And sure enough, here's a little boy. And the name, they named it exactly that. So that couldn't be coincidental, could it? And they named the little one. And tonight, even this meeting has to do with it. Maybe we'll let the dad here tell you the name.
His name is Gabriel George Griffin.
Okay. Now, Gabriel, there is a heavenly name, there is an earthly name, and there is a legend of your president that just went out of office and really didn't go out of office but was magnified above these other things. Great and mighty revelation that has to do with little Bethlehem. As a matter of fact, we had communication by mail two or three times. He had written us, even sent my wife and I a card for our anniversary. He and his wife. And the legend is the casting out of the dragon, whereas we spoke of this man coming into office, that God would put him into office, and then after that, it would have to do with the casting out of the dragon, which was communism, and sure enough, that's exactly what he did. And my wife and I, of course, went into Russia about that time, and the curtain was broken down, the Iron Curtain, and while we were there, we prayed earnestly for the breakdown of the curtain. And now you know that Bibles and all kinds of things are pouring into Russia. We have an invitation to come in there and minister. And that had great significance. And we said at the same time, the curtain between East and West Germany will also break down, and it did. So When that happened as to the administration of Bush and Mr. Clinton, we said that it looked like Mr. Clinton would come in, and I asked the people, I said, pray that if there's any time left that they'll keep Mr. Bush in, because the Lord told me he would go in, and we mentioned to the people, and he did. And then I said, it looks like Mr. Clinton will go in following this, that Mr. Bush's administration will end with the first round, which it looked like it wouldn't, because everybody, looked like all of the United States, they favored Bush. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Clinton came in, and he came in with high favor of the people. I said, when he comes in, and someone would say, well, there you go getting political. Well, I guess so. The prophets, they got political. Sometimes they come and prophesy. But I said, he will wreck the United States. And he did. And I said, and he will wreck the rest of the world. It'll all go on from this to a government throughout the entire world. Everything will be corrupted, and that'll be the end of the church ages. And the Jews will come back into view. The blood will come off of the seat of atonement. And the translation will be here, even as the revelation and the message. And sure enough, it happened exactly that way. Well, during this time, of course, the little one came while we were going out to Tucson. This is astounding. I remember when my little David came, and it was a prophecy concerning a man and a woman from California that we met at this particular place. And the man prophesied the man child. And sure enough, it came to pass. And a lot of things that it would take quite a bit of time to expound on tonight, and why David is so involved in what we're doing. And with this, we're here tonight. And the Lord reminded me of the dedication of this child. And he apparently was very persistent in it, because a number of times it went from me. It wasn't even with me as I came up here, or that is on my mind. But he reminded me, and he reminded me, and he reminded me. And because this meeting is the first night, and we move toward the 4th of July, and that has great significance because it is an independence. I want you to bear with me a little bit. I got your minds in the spirit. And I want you to bear with me a little bit. That's why I'm talking to you. Jesus just got into a little boat, shoved out from the shore, and began to talk with them. You hardly ever have time to really talk to people. They're so busy. And Satan won't let them be still in the spirit. He's always got lots of things to do. Go to a ball game. Let's go fishing. Let's go out to supper. Let's watch the television. Let's do something, he says. Let's don't be bored. I'm so bored with life, he says. You know, but he never seemed to be bored with frolic. It's just sober, sensible life. And he's always pressing the issue for you to get them children in school. And he's got his badge and he's got his guns. And he says, you go to prison. If you don't do it, I'm going to take the Bible out of school by using some fanatical woman. And then I'm going to force you to put your child in school, whether you like it or you don't like it. I know you're the government, but he says, I'm going to run it. And he does, by the old intellectual fan of life. And I'll force you to put that child, and I'll corrupt it from the time it's little. It'll be ravaged. It'll be turned into dope addicts and whatever it might be, and end up in the evil sodomy as Sodom and Gomorrah, to be burned. Well, anyway, when Mr. Bush went out, that ended your government. Someone would say, oh, no. Oh, yes. Someone said, well, what makes you think that? Because, like the little article they just wrote, they called him the shrinking president. David had had a vision about some man shrinking. And now they call him the shrinking president, that he has shrunk lower than any president we've ever had. And I got a little picture of him somewhere, so sad I didn't see it, but that he shrunk and he shrunk and he shrunk. And he had to do with the casting out of Lucifer and Mr. Bush going wherever. And he called Mr. Bush a clown. which was very unethical. People should have known then that the man wasn't in any condition to be a president. Talking to a man of integrity that has tried to protect the people the way that Mr. Bish does. A praying man, a man that was trying to turn people to God and scored a great victory. And he said, "You're the biggest clown that I've ever seen in politics." And God didn't like it, so God turned him into a clown and everybody's making fun of him. You reap what you sow. See, and now, as a little article where they draw the picture, these artists in the paper, they draw it, and he had a key in his hand. Trunk was there, and he said, "Will I be opening the gates to hell when I open this trunk as to take the band off of the sodomites?" And he did. And on we could go, and people who voted for him, people of integrity, I said, there are going to be a lot of people that are people of integrity that's going to vote for him, and then they're going to be sorry, and they'll turn around. It's like somebody that has come among us not too long ago, a very intelligent person, and the person said, "Clinton, Ford." But he just came recently. He said, "Man," said I. I said, "Clinton." And he told what a great mistake he made, and he realized when he died. People of integrity. Now, I said all that to say this. When Mr. Bush went up, it looked like he went to shame. But greater and greater, his popularity has been restored. And the man that thought that he'd make a clown out of him and be a Prince Charming went down, down, down. And that with that, the church ages. And when we call for the First Lady, who has always represented the church, there was no First Lady. She didn't want to be a lady. It's hard for a person to want to be a lady when they want to do everything else but be a lady. And she didn't want to dress like a lady. She didn't want to be a lady. She made it very public that she would not be a lady. And so then the First Lady was gone. Was God working it all out that the church and the church ages being over, the lady went away? Our president's wife's always been a lady and the First Lady. And God calls the church his elect lady. So if you bear with me a few more minutes, we'll change the order of the service. So then there was a shifting of the government at that time. This that you call the government now, you're going to find out that all of a sudden that ain't going to be here. The people are not the government anymore. If the people are the government, of the people, by the people, for the people, if it is the government, why is the president doing what he wants to do whenever he gets ready to do it, and whether the people like it or don't like it, he still does it? And why is it that they're gradually changing the Constitution of the United States by insertions, addendums, and making everything good void? Why is it that they let some woman that ain't even got enough understanding go to town back by herself? Someone would say, "Brother Pike, isn't that accusing?" Oh no, you call a snake and an elephant an elephant. Or if you don't do that, and it is an elephant and a snake, you'll be in trouble. See, anybody that would take school and take the Word of God out by the ignorance of that tree of knowledge is that mind that's within you unto death. See, and you don't see the great and mighty things that's taking place in heaven, even as to the Spirit. So folks, just talking to you a little bit, exhorting you just a little bit. One woman, and we brought it out in one meeting one night, how she did it, and indicted the president, the legislation, and the secretary, and a number, and got away with it. And the people let her do that. Somebody would say, "Well, that was the desire of the people." You know that's not true. The people as a whole hated that. But it was a cunning thing of Satan taking the Word of God out so that he could destroy humanity and putting on the badge and making people through the old carnal mind of death bow down like the king tried to do to the Hebrew children of the day of the fire furnace. So, and of course, we could say a lot about that. It's the Jimmy Carter and the plains of Dura and the image and Daniel's visions and whatever. When we look at it spiritually. And we have said a number of things about it. So then, here we are, and what is happening? The government is taken out of the people's hand. It's been taken out. You know you can't do anything. Somebody said, well, I can vote. You know that don't amount to a hill of beans. The Bible said God puts up whom He will, and He takes down whom He will, and that He prepares man's heart. And the preparation, whether good or bad, it's of God. Evil cannot come to a city unless I have sent it, saith the Lord. I have my way in the good and evil. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. I raise up one, I put down another. And history shows when the people did right, God gave them a good ruler. And when the people wanted to do a base, God gave them a bad ruler and brought the judgment. And it is very evident that it wasn't just the man that said he had the spirit of Elvis Presley, as we say, who corrupted the world, traveling around the world. I know that for sure, as the people I talked to. And then admiring Kennedy, his diary showing that he was rotten from the beginning. And the things they've discovered that he'd done. But that was his admiration. And then going out to the graveyard through spiritualism, praying to the dead presidents. And the people wanted that. There's a lot of people that was in terrible shape, and the demons that had them was looking for an outlet. And that's why so many people that were already in sodomy turned in that direction. Do you know that if you would take those that are sodomites, men and women alike, and those that have been corrupted, even as to the young ones, and then you take those that are fornicators, liars, cheats, robbers, those that are gossipers, backbiters, and selfish and gullible as to their own desires, and then you take those that with their self-esteem, pride, and you put them all together as to those that are running hard after business and money and boycotting together in their little groups, and you put them all together, how many saints of God would you have? Take all the religious churches and put them together and see how many have the Spirit of God. Somebody would say millions of them. No, if they had the nature of Christ, they'd act like Christ. They might be believers, but the Bible says if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes too. But that doesn't bring you salvation. Salvation's in His name. And by His Spirit, if you have not His Spirit, you're not of His. You know, we go to school year after year. Give the greatest part of our life to schooling. The greatest part. And then we expect to get the things of God, whereas the Bible said, great is the mischief of God, is in 15 minutes, 20 minutes a week, maybe two or three days out of the way. It's no little wonder that we're in the condition we're in as to that. But saying this and then changing the order of the service, you still have to bow down to the golden image. Still bow down to it, because the badge makes you. The gun makes you. And the only escape for the children of God is their spirit pulling out of that body, going away into heaven. And they might beat the back of that natural body. And they might abuse it. And they might force a lot of things. But that Christ on the inside, as to that real born-again child, He's caught up into the Spirit, which is heaven. And He's sealed. And He cannot be touched. There's no way that He can be touched, because He's sealed unto the day of redemption. He's born of God. He cannot sin. I was going to get on that subject tonight a little bit, if things had worked a little different. But I know that I'm not going to be able to do it, because we've taken a lot of time just exhorting at the first of the service to get everything together. But I will say this. This is the day as to the independence, the fireworks, the 4th of July. Why? It has to do with the government. It has to do with the change. And maybe before the week's out, we'll elaborate on the present day truth and bring it down. It depends on your hunger, your thirst, as to whether God will say anything to us as the present day occurrence. See, and He can make it very clear, because He's made it very clear to me. And He can make it very clear, and you can see where you're at, who you are, what's going on in this day, at least to that extent. That of the presidents of the government, what has taken place in the purpose of little Bethlehem. And He was born in little Bethlehem, and the Bible said, Bethlehem, thou art the least among the cities of Judah, for out of thee shall come forth a governor and he shall govern my people, for the government shall be upon his shoulders. And as I said this morning, I believe it was, that was the reason that the place has been purchased inside of the city walls of Old Jerusalem, right near the tomb of David, and what it has to do with that Bethlehem owns, already paid for. So we're going to dedicate the little one. And while we're dedicating the little one, I want you to stand with me, because this is not just a dedication as the ordinary thing. Even though most all of the babies that we dedicate here, it's spectacular, it's outstanding. And there's a number of the little ones that have names that's real striking. And there's a number of the little ones that has your name, other names, whereas people have all kind of names. And home and abroad, they name little children after my wife in the foreign fields, and they name them after me. And here we've had them named after us. But at the same time, this is a very different situation altogether. That's why we're in this place, Monroe, a city of seven governors. Mount Vernon, right close by, and on we could go. But this is more than just having a meeting as to a spiritual thing. You can be sure this thing has to do with your children and your government and the government that has been and the government that will be. Brother Pete, can you stand right up here? The little one, he looks fine and healthy, and he's a fine looking little guy, and he has great significance. Now, this is kind of odd, kind of strange, but we're going to ask you to gather around the altars. If you want to take pictures, that's fine. Just find you a place there where others won't be in the way. And let's just gather around the altar. It would be good if all of you would come. Someone would say, well, I'm not a Christian, Brother Pine. The Bible said, let everything that breathes, that hath breath, praise the Lord. The blood is on the seat of atonement. And you owe it to God. If you never serve God, just from giving you the breath of life as to thankfulness that he lets you continue on, even your condition, you need to praise him. The little terror, it praises God when the rain and the sunshine comes. And this blessing of God in his life is upon all. So we're going to pray. You've heard the name. Gabriel is a messenger. And wherever Gabriel comes, there is a message. Always a message when Gabriel comes. Michael is a warrior. There's always problems in the land when Michael comes. But when Gabriel comes, there is a messenger. And even this little fella, I believe that Pete was telling me, and of course you remember what I said about Pete. I heard him say something one night that, as a rule, I'd never heard anybody say concerning this minister. And I think he's wanting his pacifier. All right, so it's right there, and he's on the job. So then, with this, it was like, I believe the nurse, was it, that made the statement that his name is Gabriel, and already he's sounding the trumpet. What he was doing, I don't know. But anyway, there is something happening. When the last trumpet sounds, something is going to happen. Christ will descend from heaven with the shout of the archangel, the trumpet. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people of their sins. The trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And they which are remaining or alive shall be changed and then caught up to meet the Lord. And there so shall they ever be with the Lord. Comfort and console my people by telling them this one thing. And folks, the church ages are rolling around to the end. The tribulation is coming into view, even numerically, as to the calendar and the things. Now, it's been a long time since I held some of my little ones in my arms, so I might not know too much about it anymore as I one time did. But we're going to pray, and while we're praying, we're going to dedicate the little one. If you'd like for yours to get the blessing of this, we'll pray as to a unanimous thing, and God will do that. Down in Mexico, the mothers sometimes, they just almost press over each other to try to get their little ones to the minister so that he'll lay hands on them and bless them. In India, I've told you, I'll go over there and the ministry here, and the people will press in just begging and pleading. And they'll say, touch me, Father. Bless me, Father. Please bless me, Father. Because they've come up under the teachings of Catholicism. And they know for sure that the priest or the ministry can bless. Or we have the power to bless or curse. Whosoever we bless shall be blessed. Whosoever we curse shall be cursed. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. No, the people don't honor the ministry and they don't realize the authority. Like I told a judge in the court one time, he was judging. I said, judge, is that what you're going to do? Because he was doing it as to an individual. I said, you're not going to listen, are you? You're just going to have an open and shut case. And it upset him. And he said, I am a judge. And he let me know it was his courtroom. He'd do what he wanted. I said, yes, sir. Your Honor, I realize that. I said, but I'm a judge too. And it enraged him. He said, but you're not a judge like me. I said, far greater, sir. Far greater. And he flew into a rage. And he got all frustrated. He said, get out of here. And then I started out. He said, oh, no, don't get out of here. And he got all, and the people were just laughing in the courtroom, you know, even the ones that did the recording, whatever. And I said that to say this. The Bible said concerning the ministry, even if a prophet prophesies something, it come to pass, fear that prophet. He's got your life in his hands. Or that is to say, there's still prophets and pastors. There is still apostles, teachers, evangelists, for the perfecting of your faith as to the saints of God. And so then, when it comes to the minister, the Bible said, will ye not be afraid for conscience sake? Seeing that he is the minister of God, set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. Or he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is God's minister to execute vengeance upon the people that do evil, but to bless them that do good. So we need to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and know how to conduct ourselves in the church of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of truth. For they're so great people that even the minister feels inadequate for the purposes to speak to them, for there are gods in the earth among the people. So we're going to dedicate our little one here, and while we're dedicating him, I want you to lift your hands up to the Lord. If the mothers want the blessing and you want the blessing, this has to do with a great thing spiritually tonight, and has to do with Gabriel, who is a messenger that brings a message. And one day the messenger came to Mary, and coming to Mary, he brought a message. And the message had to do with the child that was to be the king of all the world and to be the one that would cast out the dragon. And we've had a great symbol in our day as to the presidency and these things, and as to Washington and the New World. So then we know there's something, there's a cross. The end of 2,000 years and 2,000 years in the world, numerically the calendars, and a great phenomenal thing takes place always at the end of 2,000 years. And science is now predicting the world to come upright at the end of this one. And we know that's to bring in a restored earth. So let's just pray together. And while we're praying together, can you lift your hands up? Can you lift your hands up with me? Father of heaven, as we stand here before this dad and mother, knowing the facts as to the details of many things here, and knowing that this meeting has to do with the time of the independence, oh God, and there's been a change of the government. And Heavenly Father, while we stand here, we have the little one within our arms, dedicating the baby to you. You gave the little one to the dad and mother. And Lord, we now give it back to thee. Lord, even as little Samuel that was taken up to the temple. Heavenly Father, that becomes such a great prophet that never one of his words fell to the ground. You always honored him. And dear God, I ask you to bless this little child. We bless it in the name of Jesus and bless the little family. And oh God, bless these parents. Help them to bring this little one up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God, we ask you to feed it when it's hungry, to take care of it in its lifetime. Clothe it when it's in need of clothing. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless it Lord, see that its enemies become your enemies. And Father, when they come out against it, make them to flee seven ways before it. God, make it great and mighty in your word if you tarry. Or Lord, bless it during the time that you do tarry. Heavenly Father, bless this audience tonight. Bless the people. Bless these homes. Bless their darling little children, which is the gift of God. Help them, Lord, to be responsible to bring it up to your love and kindness, that it might acknowledge you. Oh, Lord, that it might escape the tragedy and the detriment of this world. I ask you tonight to bless these meetings, this camp meeting, in Jesus' wonderful, mighty name. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you, Pete.
You're welcome.
Let's just lift our hands up together. And we're not going to go on any further as to get into the scriptures tonight. But we've said a lot just since we've been here, if you've been listening. Give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. Not only that, but take heed how that you hear to incorporate this into your lifestyle. Don't try to incorporate God in your lifestyle. Get away from your fleshly ambitions and let Him incorporate you in His plan and His program. Can you do that? You young ministers, forget about your ministry. That's where the problem is today. Realize you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let Him incorporate you in His ministry, and things will go good for it. It'll be a wonderful thing as to the blessing to the people. So while our hands are lifted up and our eyes are closed, we're just going to worship the Lord together just for a few minutes. Got some new people here. A brother John that came in to be with us, and a number of people coming down from the Carolinas. I have so many brothers and sisters up there, so wonderful, that supports this ministry and been doing it for years. And then some that has newly come to support it. My wife said today, said, I believe those are good people, George. So I believe that they're good people. And some of them was baptized, and they've been supporting this ministry according to what she said. I really don't know, because I don't mess with the books. Brother Taylor, Sister Linda, my wife does that. We have people that look after that as to the money. It goes through the bank and to the system. My job is to look after the ministry and look after God's people, to feed His lambs. And so then, I love you, I care for you, and it's Christ within me to you, because nobody's really going to love anybody. It's hard in this day for men to even love their wives, or wives to love their husband, or families as to love their children. But anyway, we're going to sing a little chorus together. I want you to know, all of you, that wherever you come from, we love you, we appreciate you. You're what makes our day. And we want to share Christ with you, and you share Christ with us. And we want to be one brotherhood throughout the entire world, all around the world. We get mail, and this message goes throughout the world, and places, numbers of times around the world are being established. And we get letters, and it reads like, over here one just wrote and said, we just directed a brush arbor to this message that we've come into, Brother Pye, concerning eternal life and this thing that we've got a hold of out of your literature. And we just erected just a common brush arbor and started preaching, and said 3,000 people, as it would be, turned out. And we get such letters all the time. The radio programs go, and television programs has gone sometimes, even the satellite that was on there for quite a while that I felt to come off of for a reason. It would take time to expound it tonight. It had a spiritual significance. So let's be spiritual, and let's communicate with the Lord. We're going to sing this chorus together. And while we're singing just a chorus or two, we're going to close our eyes, lift our hands, invite somebody to camp meeting. You yourself come back, because there's a great thing going on, and I certainly don't want to miss it. Do you? We sing the song to enter the gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. We're going to sing this little song. I keep working the road to glory, working
the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I'm going to smooth out the roads that lead to heaven up above. I'll make it easy for those behind. The road to heaven, it is straight. I'll roll the gate around this trial of vanity pride. I'm going to smooth out the snares that hinder. Offer my prayers, I'll make it easy for those that are behind. I keep working the road, working the road to go to help and the blind. Going to smooth out the roads that lead to heaven up above. I'll make it easy for those that are behind. The road to heaven, it's straight. Arrow the gate around this trial of every kind. I'm going to smooth out the roads that lead heaven up above to make it easy for one more time. So working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. Can you give him a wave off? Smooth out the roads. Somebody say hallelujah. And make it easy for those behind. Give him a wave offering. I keep working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I'm going to smooth out the roads that lead heaven up above to make it easy for those behind. And if you'll move over just a little bit, lend you a helping hand, I'll go the roads. But together we can stand. Know just what you've been going through. I've been down the same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry that load. And if you'll move over just a little bit, lend you a helping hand. Although the road seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. We've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help. Sing that with me. And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your hand, look up ahead. I can see the mountain top. And when you look, you'll be so glad that you tried. And together we will praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Can you praise the Lord? So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll give you a happy hand. Although the road seems rough and hard, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through, and down the same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, you know, folks, while they're playing and singing, remember, if you'll take the hand of your brother or sister, and if you'll share your substance with your brother or sister, you might have been down the same trail that they've yet to go down. And even though you did not fall because you was a little stronger, see, you might have been the big brother and you had to go first. Jesus is our elder brother. See, and if you'll reach back and take the little one's hand, you can steady him, and he'll just make it on, and after a while, he can go on his own. And then he'll reach back and get somebody's hand. And the Bible said, form a chain, because the land is full of bloody crime. That is, get a chain of prayer. Take hand to hand.
And when I bring Zion again, they'll walk hand in hand. And they won't break ranks, and they won't pierce each other through. They'll all be one mind in one accord. Can you help them?
I know just what you've been going through.
Been down that same old road, and you'll move on.
Sing it one more time with me.
Help you carry your load.
And if I help you carry your load, you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes, look up ahead, cause there's the mountain top. And when you stand on the top, you'll be so glad that you tried. And together we will out down the other side.
One more time.
So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the road seems rough and long, but together we can stand.
I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road.
And if you'll move over just a little bit,
I'll help you carry your load.
And he was here all the time.
Isn't that wonderful?
So my Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. And he was here all the time.
Sing it with me now.
And he touched me. Oh,
he touched me.
And all the joy that was my soul, something has happened. And now
I know
that Jesus touched me, and
he made me whole.
Oh yes, he touched me. Can you lift your hands up? Can you close your eyes? Can you worship the Lord? Folks, you're so close to heaven. You're so close to heaven. Can you lift up your hand? Everybody is on death row. Everybody is on death row. And each one is waiting for his time. And everyone will have to pay the price. But if Jesus paid it for you, and you'll give him your hand, then you won't have to pay it. You won't have to walk the lonesome valley. Let's sing this little chorus. You gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta go there by yourself. There's no one here can walk it for you. You gotta go there by yourself. My mother said, when she was dying, and just before life's breath was gone, she looked at me, said, trust in Jesus, and my son, you can carry on.
Sing it with me.
Or you gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta go where by your...
Lift your hands up and give him a wave offering. Can you close your eyes tonight and praise the Lord?
You gotta go
by yourself.
One more time.
Oh, you gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta go.